Welcome to the Songs and Stories of Canada. This program is called The Immigrants.
That's a DC-10, just arrived. From Hong Kong, I think.
Wonder if there's any immigrants on that plane.
Where did you get the ticket? I don't know. I'm just here. Yes, it's there.
Where
did you get the ticket?
Must be really hard for immigrants coming here when they don't speak English.
Well, let me tell you, even Englishmen had a hard time. In the early days, some of them who came to BC were real dandies. They paraded around Victoria in fancy shorts with their pink knobbly knees sticking out.
What a sight.
Yeah, the old loggers and ranchers laughed themselves silly making fun of these greenhorns. They were called remittance men because they got a regular allowance from home. There was even a song about these guys, giving them all kinds of crazy advice.
When the half-baked remittance man comes to the west, arrayed in short pants, which he thinks suits him best, he parades around town while he takes a short rest, ere assuming the role of a rancher. Role, role, role of a rancher, rancher of BC. Now all you remittance men, listen to me. I'll give you some pointers as far as I may that might make you a rancher if you will obey. A rancher that's fit for a rancher. Fit, fit, fit for a rancher, rancher of BC. First, mind you don't stay in Victoria long. The water is bad and the liquor is strong. And as you must drink something, you're sure to go wrong and spoil your success as a rancher. Assess, assess, assess as a rancher, rancher of BC. Take advice if you buy a fine ranch by a stream. Don't leave for trout fishing your cows and your cream, but make butter and wealth beyond your greediest dream, which is far the best plan for a rancher. Plan, plan, plan for a rancher, rancher of BC. If while riding your bronco he starts into buck, and you fear if you fall by his hooves you'll be struck, throw your arms round his neck, man, and trust to your luck. If you can't keep your seat like a rancher, seat, seat, seat like a rancher, rancher of BC. If while hunting for deer on some lone mountain top, across a big bear you should happen to drop, just climb the first tree and be sure there to stop till assistance arrives for the rancher. Rives, rives, rives for the rancher, rancher of BC. If after long striving on Vancouver's plains, you find that your debts are the whole of your gains, go off to the Klondike with the cash that remains and get better off than a rancher. Off, off, off than a rancher, rancher of BC.
Here comes a flight from Nova Scotia. Remember when we were there a couple of years ago?
Yeah. I remember Bob Campbell had told us that while we were there, we should look up his aunt and uncle Campbell over in Cape Breton. So we went to this little village where they lived and asked at the first house we came to.
Yes, what can I do for you?
Could you tell us where the Campbells live, please?
Oh, we're the Campbells. Which Campbells are you looking for?
Mr. and Mrs. Angus Campbell.
Oh, well, there's Angus John Campbell two doors down, or there's Angus Ross Campbell up on Duncan Avenue, or there's Angus William Campbell down the hill. Oh, yes, there's also Angus William Campbell next to the gas station. The Angus William Campbell down the hill, his wife's name is Mary. The one next to the gas station's wife's name is Barbara. There's also Angus Bruce Campbell, who runs the hardware store.
Hang on, hang on. How come everyone around here is named Campbell?
Well, you see, 150 years ago, my great-great-grandfather Campbell came here from a village in Scotland where there were a lot of Campbells. After that, just about everyone who came here from that same village settled in this part of Cape Breton.
Well, if everyone has the same name, how do you know which Angus Campbell you're talking about?
Nicknames. Nearly everyone's got a nickname around here. The Angus Campbells down the hill, they're called the Bankers.
Why? Is he the bank manager or something?
Oh, no, no. He's a fisherman, fished off the Grand Banks of Newfoundland for years. So somewhere along the line, people started calling him the Banker. Oh, old Angus, who runs the hardware store, we call him and his family the Pipers.
Ah, because they play the bagpipes.
No, they don't. But I think Angus' great-great-grandfather, who first came here from Scotland, was a piper, so I guess the name just stuck and got passed on.
So nobody around here is called by their real name?
Oh, no, some people are, but in a town full of Campbells, nicknames make it a lot easier to sort everyone out.
But how are we supposed to find the Angus Campbell we're looking for? We don't know his nickname.
Oh, don't worry, we'll find him for you. Listen, we're having a little celebration here right now, so why don't you just come in and join the fun?
Thanks a lot. That's really nice of you.
Hey, Malcolm, let's have a tune. We got some special guests here.
What's the name of that tune?
Angus Campbell.
February 2nd, 1671. I never imagined it could be so cold. I've stuffed rags into all the cracks, but the wind still comes howling through. Pierre should be back soon. I'm so lonely when he's gone. It's been a whole year now since we first met and got married. How frightened I was then. I was only 15, and I'd just arrived here in Canada. I remember sailing up the St. Lawrence River with all the other girls, looking at this new country. All we saw was miles and miles of empty forest. But we felt better when we reached Quebec City. It had stone buildings and tall church steeples, just like we'd left in France. As the ship got near the dock, I strained my eyes to see the flocks of young men the king had sent us to marry. But all we saw were the nuns who whisked us away to the convent until the day for us to be paired off. Well, that day came and we were all so nervous, giggling and whispering in front of the bishop and the governor. And across from us was this huge crowd of young men who were to be our husbands. I was standing next to my friend Louise. She whispered to me, "They all look like a bunch of wild animals." It was true. I could hardly tell one from the other, and they all spoke this funny kind of French that we didn't understand. How was I supposed to choose a husband from that bunch? Suddenly, I got really scared, and I just wanted to go home. I still don't know how I made it through, and to this day, I have no idea why I chose Pierre. Maybe it's because he looked just as scared as I felt. But he's a good man, and when the baby comes this spring and we get our own cow, I'll be very happy in my new home.
Derrière chez nous y a ton étang.
Derrière chez nous y a ton étang.
Trois beaux canards s'en vont baignant.
V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'appelle. V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'attend.
Trois beaux canards s'en vont baignant.
Trois beaux canards s'en vont baignant.
Le fils du roi s'en va chassant.
V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'appelle. V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'attend.
Le fils du roi s'en va chassant.
Le fils du roi s'en va chassant.
Visa le noir, tu as le plan.
V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'appelle. V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'attend.
Visa le noir, tu as le blanc.
Visa le noir, tu as le blanc.
Au fils du roi, tu es méchant.
V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'appelle. V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'attend.
Au fils du roi, tu es méchant.
Au fils du roi, tu es méchant.
D'abord, tu es mon canard blanc.
V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'appelle. V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'attend. V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'appelle. V'là le bonbon, v'là le joliban. V'là le bonbon, mamie m'attend.
John, here's the bus. Excuse me, do we need a transfer to get downtown?
No, sirree. This bus will take you right there.
Oh, great.
You don't mind my asking, you people just home from a trip?
No, we were just looking at planes and watching people coming in from other countries.
We're doing a radio show about immigrants, so we thought we'd see where people arrive.
Immigrants, eh? Well, I'm an immigrant.
Oh, yeah? Where from?
Came here from Ireland 42 years ago. I sure as heck didn't fly in a nice, cushy airplane like they do now.
Me neither. When we came here from Germany when I was just a kid, we came on an old ship, a freighter. I remember we were all crowded into a dingy little cabin with a bunch of other people. It was March, and there were storms almost the whole way across. My poor mother was sick the whole way. There was nowhere to go, nowhere to play, except they had this one deck, this big open deck, with a big set of swings in the middle. But you couldn't go there because there was no railing. The deck just dropped off right into the ocean, and the waves came sweeping right over the deck.
Listen, you had it easy compared to what it was like in the old sailing ships.
Well, that was even before you were born.
Well, when I first came to Canada, my old Irish landlady, she told me all about it. The immigrant ship she came on was a real death trap. Had 1,000 passengers crammed into a space built for 250 people. They had to sleep sitting up because there was no room to stretch out. There wasn't even enough to eat. The place was filthy, and pretty soon people started getting sick. Typhoid fever, I think she says it was. Yeah, she lost her sister and her father, dead 2 weeks out at sea.
That's terrible. Why did they leave?
Well, she told me they had to. You know, in those days in Ireland, most people lived on potatoes, and she said that the potatoes got some kind of disease, and the crops were all wiped out. Thousands of people starved. Their only hope was to leave Ireland.
Yeah, I remember reading something about that once. So many of them left that 100 years ago there were more Irish in North America than there were in Ireland. They got really homesick and made up hundreds of songs about how sad they were to leave Ireland, but how they looked forward to a new life in North America.
I guess that's why this song is called The Green Fields of Canada.
Farewell to the groves of shillelagh and shamrock. Farewell to the girls of old Ireland all round. May your hearts be as merry as ever I would wish them. When far away across the ocean I'm bound. Oh, my father is old, and my mother's quite feeble. To leave their own country, it grieves their hearts sore. Oh, the tears in great drops, down their cheeks they are rolling, to think they must die upon a foreign shore. But what matter to me where my bones they be buried, if in peace and contentment I can spend my life? Oh, the green fields of Canada, they daily are blooming. It's there I'll put an end to my miseries and strife. So it's pack up your sea stores and tarry no longer. $10 a week isn't very bad pay. With no taxes or tithes to devour up your wages, when you're on the green fields of America. Oh, the sheep run unshorn, and the land's gone to rushes. The handyman's gone, and the winders of creels. Away across the ocean, good journeymen tailors, and fiddlers that play out the old mountain reels. But I remember the time when old Ireland was flourishing, when lots of her tradesmen could work for good pay. But since our manufactories have crossed the Atlantic, it's now we must follow to America. So it's now to conclude and to finish my story. If ever friendless Irishman chances my way, with the best in the house I will treat him and welcome. At home on the green fields of America.
Ah, green fields. That's what you like to see when you're a farmer. Well, I sure never saw any on my farm.
Yeah? Where was that?
Peace River country. That's where I went a year after I came. I thought I'd try farming. Had all kinds of problems. Like when I tried to bring up two horses from Dawson Creek. Oh, that was a real disaster.
Couldn't you just haul them up in a trailer?
Well, that's fine if you got roads. But my farm was in the middle of nowhere. The only way in was on horseback across some pretty rough country and big rivers. Just my luck. I had one stupid horse that wouldn't swim. Well, at Smoky River, we decided to put him on a raft. Didn't have any nails, so we tied some logs together with rope, got that ignorant horse onto it, and gave him a push. About a third of the way across, the logs started to spread, and his feet slipped between them, and his legs dropped into the water. So there he was, up to his armpits in logs and water, neighing at the top of his lungs. Oh, we knew he wouldn't drown, but he rolled his eyes, kept his nose in the air the whole way across, and made a racket you could hear for miles. That was pretty much the end of my farming career.
Buses are better than horses, eh?
Oh, you bet. You know, I came down to Vancouver after that, got myself a job, sent for my sweetheart back home, and got married. Yeah, been here ever since. You know, I got no complaints. This country's been good to me.
across the broad Atlantic, in Canada's domain, a colonist was working for the lass he longed to gain. Inside his little cabin, he pictured day by day the image of his sweetheart, and with longing he would say, won't you come to me in Canada, in Canada, in Canada. Won't you come to me in Canada, far away across the foam, with the church bells ringing on our wedding day. We'll ride away upon a sleigh. So if you'll be my wife, we'll be happy for life in a cozy Canadian home. The lass at home was waiting to be his cherished wife, to share his little cabin and to cling to him through life. She knew that he would claim her when with fortune he was blessed, and often she would fancy he was calling from the west. Won't you come to me in Canada, in Canada, in Canada. Won't you come to me in Canada, far away across the foam, with the church bells ringing on our wedding day. We'll ride away upon a sleigh, and if you'll be my wife, we'll be happy for life in a cozy Canadian home. The colonist succeeded, and the lass became his own, and now their little cabin to a larger one has grown. And as they sit together beneath the maple tree, he tells her how he called her long ago across the sea. Won't you come to me in Canada, in Canada, in Canada. Won't you come to me in Canada, far away across the foam, with the church bells ringing on our wedding day. We'll ride away upon a sleigh, and if you'll be my wife, we'll be happy for life in a cozy Canadian home. For sons of Mother England, who are not afraid of toil, there's health upon the prairies, there is fortune in the soil. You'll lead a life of freedom, with friendship warm and true, and soon you'll send this message to the lass who waits for you. Won't you come to me in Canada, in Canada, in Canada. Won't you come to me in Canada, far away across the foam, with the church bells ringing on our wedding day. We'll ride away upon a sleigh, so if you'll be my wife, we'll be happy for life in a cozy Canadian home.
The Immigrants was written and produced in Vancouver by John Bartlett, Gary Marcuse, and Rika Rubsat. The actors were Joseph Golland, Susan Leslie, and Janet Wright. Musical accompaniment by Murray Schulbraid, Bob Webb, and Fred Weiss. The lead singers were John Bartlett and Rika Rubsat. Technical production by Hal Beckett and Entmoot Studios. And a special thanks to the Oral History Archives of British Columbia. Thanks for listening.